The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way is to head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping at Amazon, go over to ShiningWizards.com and click the Amazon banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will go to support the show.
Fireball.
If you'd like to purchase one of our logo shirts, head on over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick one of our latest styles. Or head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for our Shining Wizards Network and tons of other designs.
Fireball.
If you'd like to be our friend on Facebook, join us at Shining Wizards. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, do so at Wizards Podcast. And if you'd like to send us any kind of email, you can do so at wizardspodcast@gmail.com. The Shining Wizards Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, GeekLifeRadio.com, and of course at ShiningWizards.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
This is Too Cocky Kevin Matthews. I'm the former 3-time and soon to be 4-time and maybe even 5- and 6- and 7-time PWS Heavyweight Champion. Maybe I'll be the Suicidal 6-Way Champion. Maybe I'll be the Tag Team Champion. Maybe I'll hold all the belts at once. But right now, right this split second, every single person that's listening to my voice is also listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back Studio A for another exciting edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, as you know, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Eddie.
What? You're not Eddie. But I am Kevin.
I'm Matt.
That is Matt.
And I'm Dave.
There we go.
Dave.
And now you stepped all over his intro after you forgot who you were. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome tonight to the Wizard Studio. Mr. Dave LaGreca, the host of Busted Open and the king of the Busted Open Nation.
Like it.
Thank you.
Welcome.
How are you doing tonight? I'm awesome.
Yeah, this is an honor for us. This is like the Godfather coming to visit the soldiers at their day
other
job.
Italians? Well,
see, I was thinking Donnie Brasco because I had to take my shoes off before I came into the studio.
That's true. It's very nice carpeting here at Studio A. We don't want to ruin it.
As long as it lasts.
Now, Mr. LaGreca, let me ask you a question.
Mr.
Is that what we're doing? Is that okay? Because he's the boss, right?
He's the boss.
Okay.
Okay? I have one favor.
Favor?
The dry erase board. What do you think?
I love it.
He loves it.
A boo.
What, you don't like it? Why are you booing?
First of all, he writes with an 8-point font. You can't even read the thing, and I feel like I'm miles away.
How can you not read that?
I mean, I guess I can.
I think it's great. You have the, welcome Dave LaGreca, which was perfect. I came in here. That's the first thing that I saw. So
See?
It's welcome Dave LaGreca. You got the website, the Twitter, the days and times. This is perfect. And you have all the subjects that we're going to cover over the next 2 hours. Fastlane pay-per-view.
Look at that.
Bushwhackers Hall of Fame. Who's left to get into the Hall of Fame? I mean, this is amazing. And then you got the plugs because you got friends of the show. Pro Wrestling Syndicate, House of Glory.
got to just let him do our plugs every week.
This is fantastic. Say,
yeah. Great stuff.
See, you schmucks didn't use the board last week.
We didn't need the board last
week.
You
did need the board.
We had Adam Lucidi, very funny
comedian. And then you struggled, and then I'm in ShopRite listening to the replay, yelling, use the board, schmuck, in front of the Cranberries. And everyone's looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
But I thought the show went well. Have you ever spoken to beautiful Bobby Eaton?
Yes, I have.
And
as actually, I gave him a Legends Award in New Orleans last year.
What?
It was a Mid-South reunion, and they had me present him with the Legends Award.
Very nice.
Now, how was he in person?
All right, so wait, first, before I answer
we had
that,
him on the phone.
Right, before I answer that question, tell me about your interview with him over the phone.
Well, I had listened to Gerwig's interview with him prior just to get a feel on how he goes. And he's not a very chatty fellow, which is probably why he never cut a lot of promos.
Yeah,
in his day.
Never was on. You had to know that going in.
Oh, no.
He never cut a promo.
Absolutely, but you figured, you know, I don't know, maybe interviewing is just not his thing. Maybe he doesn't like answering questions.
What was the first question?
How he's feeling. Because, I mean, he's, you know, everything that I found of him in the news over the past 2 years has been he's had heart problems. He's in and out of the hospital. So, you know, when we know somebody's been sick, we want to make sure. How you feeling? How's everything going?
Yeah.
You know, open up with that. Then we started going into a little history with him. And it was just kind of like, you know.
Well, he didn't know that they were. The reason behind our interview with him was to promote the documentary they were doing about him, which he knew nothing about.
Yeah, that was the killer. So it was like, so how did you get involved? You know, like, did you want to, were you approached to do this? He's like, I don't know. It's my buddy Terrence. He does everything. And Kevin and I just looked at each other like, oh boy, where do we go from here?
Because basically the topic that we wanted to open with and pretty much the basis of the interview, he was not involved with at all, and we didn't know that going in. So it kind of threw a monkey wrench into what we wanted to do with him.
It's a tough interview. You're going to have tough interviews. I know Harley Race. I interviewed Harley Race once, and it was one of those things where it's like, yes, no, okay. Those are like the answers, and you're like, where do you go with that? That's when you just like, you wrap it up, man.
And you wrap it up.
You do a quick five-minute interview, and you're out.
That's what I was like, you know what? Let's just go to name association and the name game and basically like just rattled off names, and he gave like a one-word,
two-word
answer.
There you go.
Yeah, and the one thing I wanted to ask him about, I figured maybe we'll get him into wrestling. We'll actually talk about some of his matches.
Uh-uh.
And I started asking him about his match with Ric Flair, where he got the pin, the 2 out of 3 falls when he won the first fall. And I was like, that must have been amazing. He's like, yeah, Flair's good to work with. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. I've never been in the ring with Ric Flair.
No, but he was very apologetic. He's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I'm not really good at doing interviews.
Now,
I'm like, no, you're
you
all
said
right.
that you had the same kind of issue with Harley Race. Do you think that is a generational issue in terms of how guys present themselves in interviews?
No, because if you go back and you like watch Bobby Eaton, like you said, Bobby Eaton never really did any promos. He didn't do any kind of mic work at all. If you watch Harley Race, same type of thing.
Yeah.
Very short promos, not on the mic long at all. So, you know, you got to know that going in that you probably, if they couldn't do a promo in 1985, most likely in 2015, they're not going to be able to do a 20-minute interview.
Right, and I'm even trying to think back when he was managing like guys like Vader. I'm trying to remember if he cut promos then either.
He probably did, but it was probably, again, it was probably something that was really, really short.
Right.
Now, what are you going to say about me next week when you talk about Dave LaGreca? Are you going to be like, if you go into the word association game like in 2 minutes, then I know this isn't going too well.
There's few and far between people we've interviewed, and we've probably interviewed over 100 people that just, and I'm not saying, I love the Bobby Eaton interview. It was so awkward to listen to, and when he finally says like, yeah, I'm not good at interviews. Like, you could hear you guys go, oh, all right. But there's very few and far between.
Yeah, because you're dealing with wrestlers, and they got personality and have character.
Yeah.
Like, I know from my day job with the NFL, like, most athletes aren't very good in interviews and not very good with that type of thing because they're not being taught how to do it. Usually at the end of their career, if they want to go on to that next level. But wrestlers, you have to have, especially now, you have to have some kind of personality. So,
and you figure these guys are all into self-promotion anyway, so you know 99% of them are gonna, even if they don't know how to cut a great promo, at least they're gonna want to promote themselves, put themselves over.
Yeah, But Bobby Eaton, probably not the best guy to have on a phone interview.
And you know what it is, too? Like, he just doesn't get interviewed. And when I heard that he had a documentary coming out about his life, to me, it was like a lot of people may not know who Bobby Eaton is. You know, the Midnight Express was what, over 30 years ago already? Right. And I mean, even if you follow WCW during the Monday Night Wars loosely, like that was like the tail end of his career, right? Yeah. Where he was doing the Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
And I even brought that up with him about his longevity in wrestling is pretty much unparalleled, and how he was not cast aside in the WCW days when everyone from WWE was coming in. They still kept, they held on to Bobby Eaton and found something for him to do throughout that time period.
Because he was a mentor and a teacher. Like, you know, yeah. You know, like Stone Cold Steve Austin talks about him being one of his mentors. Like, he was just somebody that at the tail end of his career, he was teaching guys how to wrestle.
Right.
So.
Yep. And now Dave, I listened to you guys.
Thank you.
On Sirius XM. And,
Channel 92.
Yes.
Do you?
I do.
You just
I do.
Saying
no, no,
that
I do. I do. I got a Sirius XM account probably about maybe like five or six months ago.
Okay.
And I listened, and I remember
none of these other guys do that. You're the only one that listens to the show. They're too cheap to get SiriusXM.
Too cheap. I have the app, and I get so annoyed with the thing. It crashes all the time. You can't fast forward and rewind.
But I noticed that something that's very near and dear to your heart is, and before we get into all the current stuff in wrestling, is the Continental Airlines, or the Izod Center, And I know that you
get a lot of criticism about that.
And you always said, I remember listening to the episode, I forget which one it was, where everyone puts over MSG as the place to go. But to you, I don't know if it's being a Jersey guy, the Meadowlands is always where it was for you.
Yeah.
And so if you could just elaborate on that a little bit and what this means to you, that the staple, we're all Jersey guys, a staple of professional wrestling in the Northeast is no longer going to be around, and how devastated you are.
It's funny because you guys, I know, are friendly with Kevin Knight from IWF.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he's like on the same wavelength as me. You know, it's like we were separated at birth. Like his father worked at the same place my father worked for. We pretty much went to the same shows, got into the wrestling around the same time, and everything else. Except he's an Uber athlete, and I'm, you know, who I am. But other than that. But we went to see Judas Priest like a few months back before the announcement was made that they were going to be closing the place down. And we barely made it into the arena. Like, we're drinking, you know, some daddy sodas. And like we're in the hallway, like, just reminiscing. Like, we're sitting down, like, in the hallway, which hasn't changed since 1981. And we're just throwing some back, just talking about, like, what this place meant and, like, all the wrestling memories and all the wrestling cards. And this is my argument. Listen, I'm not going to be crazy enough to say that, you know, the Meadowlands / Continental / Brendan Byrne / Izod Center is a bigger, more prestigious, more historic venue than Madison Square Garden. But to me, it is because, and this is why, I was able to see an AWA card. I was able to see an NWA card. I was able to see WCW. I was able to see WWF and WWE. I mean, you can't say that about any arena that's open right now.
That's true. And ironically, my first event at the Meadowlands was a WCW show and not a WWE show. So that's just like speaks, I think, I agree with you 100%, speaks volumes. Like,
which one was that? Was that the Flair Sting?
In the cage? I think it was a cage match. It wasn't the one where the title change happened, I don't think, unless I'm remembering it wrong.
That was during a blizzard. You would
have
remembered
that. Yeah, that was like there was like 1,200 people there.
Because the one that I saw, it was Sting Ric Flair in a cage, and I think Elegante was supposed to be the special referee, but he got jumped on the way in by, I think, either Zabisco and Anderson or Tully and Anderson. And I think Sid versus Brian Pillman was on that card. Dustin Rhodes was on that card. But that was my first time at the Meadowlands, was a WCW show. And then, of course, everything from there was countless WWE events.
Oh, yeah, that's it. After
events.
That. Now, did you go to the last show?
I did not.
It's a bad job by you.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's, shame on you.
How do you come on the air and praise the Meadowlands Arena and the history behind it, and then you don't go to the last ever card that's at the Meadowlands Arena?
Was that a Saturday night?
See, I don't think it's going to be the last card.
It was.
It was a Saturday night?
It was a Saturday night.
I was working.
Okay, well,
we all.
Yeah, Kevin's a stand-up.
Me and Kevin work in the restaurant business. So
okay, so Saturday. I apologize. I didn't mean to call you a fraud.
You were 100% right.
No, it's okay. He's a fraud.
Don't worry. There was hardly anybody there. It was like 5,000 people there.
No, there was not.
Dude, there was – my girlfriend was with me, and there was like 5,000 people. It was more than half empty.
Well, I think because Section 300 seats were like $70 a pop. I mean, I was checking for ticket prices, and it just seemed awful expensive.
Yeah, it was awful expensive. But the WWE did a great job, and I got to give them credit. They sold like T-shirts, and they had like a really great video package with Flair and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, really?
And yeah, they did a really, really good job.
Is it wrong that I'm more interested in the Judas Priest concert?
No, no, not at all.
Actually, there's probably more people at that WWE show than there was at the
really?
Jewish Priest
no,
concert.
That,
yeah, dude.
That kind of saddens me.
Yeah,
that
was a little sad.
The last time I saw Priest play, they just played that concept album, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
It was,
yeah, that was
shit.
Bad. That's probably
it was
bad.
Awful.
That's what people ran.
It was so disappointing.
But yes, but going back to your original question, I was able to see, you know, Stan Hansen beat Rick Martel for the AWA Championship. I was able to see Ric Flair beat Sting for the NWA Championship.
Wow, I
so
forgot
to
that
me,
was at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, dude. For me, you know, a lot of history in that building.
That's great. It truly is, like we were saying, just it's a shame, really, is what it is. But I guess the Prudential Center, the Barclays Center, I guess there's so many places now to go. The Meadowlands, I mean, let's not – I mean, I love the Meadowlands, but it was getting kind of
– It's time to go. It's
yeah.
time for it to go. But there is a lot of history there. And that day – the day before, on that Friday, I had Chris Jericho on, and I was surprised, too. He talked 5 minutes about the history in that building. So
for him to know that, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And Shawn Michaels actually called it, went in that video package they had, they called it the Brendan Byrne Arena. So,
you know,
for some of the wrestlers, you know, there's a little bit of history behind it.
Right.
That was the venue where they had the Legends Battle Royal, where Vince snubbed
Luthez. Luthez.
Yeah, where they snubbed Angelo Poffo.
Yes.
And that was where Savage's whole attitude changed about the business.
I was there. I was at that.
Crazy.
I've been going to that arena to see wrestling since 83. So.
What do you think? I brought this up a couple weeks ago. What do you think about WWE's always talking they want to do a real Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
Why not buy the Meadowlands or make some deal with the state, take over the Meadowlands? They could put in a Hall of Fame. They could do a restaurant. They can make it like a whole interactive like experience.
Well, the restaurant thing, I think they tried that. And if you can't make it in Times Square, it's going to be probably hard.
I was a loyal customer to that place. I love that place.
I think it's just too expensive to do something in this area. I mean, look at MetLife Stadium. That stadium costs as much as the Cowboy, AT&T, the Cowboy Stadium. And
yeah.
So it's just very expensive to do anything over here. But I think if they do anything like a Hall of Fame building, it will be probably where their developmental center is. So.
Down in Florida.
Yeah. See, that makes sense.
I just want it to stay here. I want the Meadowlands to become something other than what it is, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be a bunch of weeds, which it is right now. I mean, they did nothing. If they're not going to clean that place up for the Super Bowl, they're not going to do anything.
Here's some trivia for you. There's a new company that owns the former Xanadu that's just been sitting there for probably close to 7 years now.
Uh-huh.
They renamed the mall. It's going to be called the American Dream.
Is that true?
That's absolutely true. How ironic is that?
I like it.
Oh, daddy.
I like it.
See, you have the WWE Hall of Fame. You have the American Dream Mall. It kind of all goes together.
You're really pushing hard for this.
I can't believe
it. I wanted to go, man.
I think this is awesome. Like, I figured I was going to be coming in here, and we're going to be talking Fastlane and Raw, and we're talking Bobby Eaton in the Meadowlands.
No,
I should have came on this show sooner.
That's something I wanted to talk to you about for a while, the Meadowlands. So I was.
No, man, anytime.
Yeah. We were next to you at WrestleCon, right?
Were we? You guys, the SiriusXM table was like, no, you guys were probably right next to
us. Yeah,
we
were.
Wait, were you the ones with like the board game or something?
We were next to them. Was that Marking Out?
That was the Hardway podcast.
Hardway, yes.
We had the Nigel? N64 set up and we were playing No Mercy.
Yeah, we were trying to have people come defeat Dave for a free t-shirt, and Dave lost every single match.
Dave was terrible.
I don't think Dave ever played No Mercy.
He was the worst.
That WrestleCon was crazy.
It was fun, man.
I mean, a ton of people. I mean,
right.
And then the next day was when the WWE came and swiped everything out off the table.
Yeah,
yes. We were there for day one.
Yeah,
we weren't there for day two when that happened with all the trademark stuff.
Yeah, because I was ready to buy Georgia Championship Wrestling 1983 entire season, and I go there the next day, and like everything's gone.
We left our banner there when we had to go back and get it.
Yeah, Eddie and I went back and got it.
Oof.
That was before we went over to the stadium for WrestleMania, wasn't it?
And now the WWE is kind of like stomping all that stuff out, like all those like WrestleCons, and even like the ROH is finding a place to do it because the WWE is kind of booking everything all around there.
Well, we've been talking to Kevin Gill.
Okay.
He's involved with the King of Indies podcast out in California. And I think he was saying they booked that stuff like a year in advance, so McMahon wouldn't be able to touch them even if he tried. I think they knew somebody at the venue, or like the guy that owned the venue was friends with them?
The guys that are running the King of Indies, they run All Pro Wrestling and something else out there.
I can't think of it.
It escapes my mind.
It's Marcus Mack and Gabe Ramirez.
Okay.
And yeah, so they've had it booked. I think they've even got Ring of Honor and a couple of other
Ring of Honor's out there, Evolve's out there all weekend.
Yeah, they're all working the same place that these guys have booked for the King of Indies tournament. So it's going to be like it was here a couple years ago.
And that was sharp because you had
it was tons of fun.
You had the convention on the right side, and then the left side they had the shows going on. Chikara ran on that Saturday. I know.
I think they had WSU Kaiju Big Battle.
Ran. Yeah, that was at like midnight.
Yeah, but they even did $5 wrestling.
Oh, I love $5.
Colton Martin.
I don't think
there.
They do $5 wrestling anymore. And that was like one of the first times I saw $5 wrestling was actually the year before in Miami. They did a show and boy, that guy is super talented, man. Cabana's just like, he's just amazing, man. That $5 wrestling was fantastic.
Yeah, he's yet to do our show officially.
He won't do phone interviews.
I know, yeah. And I see him at least once a month, and he still will not do our show. I think he may have even lied to us and said that he had a shirt.
It might be like though with it because he's doing his own podcast now. Yeah, might have something to do with it. Because he used to come on with us a lot, and then I mean, you know, we just haven't had that opportunity. But maybe because of the podcast.
Oh, he's the nicest guy in the world. He's fantastic.
We were ragging him. We went out to dinner one night. We actually recorded it for an episode. We were talking wrestling over dinner. It was kind of interesting, and I think it was Matt suggested, why don't we try to interview Matt Classic instead of Colt Cabana?
I love Matt Classic.
So Matt texts him. He's like, hey, what do you think? Can we get Matt Classic on the show? He writes back, blocked.
Not following me on Twitter anymore. Yeah.
Now, Dave, let me ask you. You're living the dream. You're working for the NFL during the day. You're doing Busted Open 3 times a week on Sirius XM. We strived to be at that level. Is this your Busted Open? Is that your brainchild? Was that your idea?
Yeah, I did a podcast like this just before Busted Open. I did it for a couple years with a guy, Pete DiDonato, who works at Sirius too. And he actually hosted Busted Open early on with me as well. But we did a podcast. It was called Final Bell. Jeez, I almost forgot about that. Final Bell. And we did that for a while. And then I just kept pushing for Busted Open. And then I got Doug involved. And Doug is I think, really talented. And he's just one of those aggressive people. And we're just pushing for it. And, you know, for a long time. And you guys know, you know, pro wrestling doesn't get a lot of respect. So, you know, when you mention something like wrestling, they kind of roll their eyes a little bit. But what really got it over the top, believe it or not, is I was walking from the train station into work. And it was when Brett Favre was the quarterback for the Jets.
Yes.
So channel, and I'm a Cowboy fan, or I was a Cowboy Oof. Fan. I'm not really much of a Cowboy fan now, but I grew up a diehard Cowboy fan. And I'm walking through Times Square, and I get stopped by Channel 11, and they said, are you a Jet fan? I said, yeah, I'm a diehard Jet fan. So they interviewed me as like one of those, you know, men on the street type right. of deals, and they're just asking me about Mangini and about Brett Favre, and I just cut this promo on the Jets. Like, you know, Favre's a fraud, and Mangini needs to be fired, and I'm screaming and yelling, and one of the bosses at Sirius XM saw that, and they're like, we got to give this guy a show, and then next thing you know, Busted Open is on. That's at that crazy. Point, it was just once a week, but now it's grown to 3 times a week, and hopefully in 2015, you know, 5 times a week.
How many years are you guys on now?
In April, it'll be 6 years.
Nice. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's a great run.
And it started one show for 1 hour.
Now, what do you think about this whole trend over the last few years of podcasting and people getting into it to have a voice? Do you think that's a positive alternative media to a place like Sirius or to FM radio, or is it too many people, too quick, not a lot of experience?
Well, I you know, because I used to teach broadcasting too, and podcasting is just a great way to start out. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, not everyone can afford to, you know, to buy studio time, and not everyone, you know, can get into radio right away. It's difficult. I think podcast is like a really good foundation to start something. And I hear what you're saying, because there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of bad podcasts out there, you know, right. And it's, you know, the wrestling too. There's thousands and thousands of wrestling shows, you know, Shining Wizards being, you know, one of the best. You know, you guys almost won show of the year.
We were neck and neck, that little ding in there.
So, like, you know, but I think it's good too. It's hard to gain credibility as a podcast. You know that because there's so many podcasts. But the cream rises to the top, and then that you get a lot of downloads, you get a lot of listeners, and then that's a great way to start. It's a good foundation.
There you go, coming from the best of the best, right?
And where else can you sit around? Like, I'm in my 40s. I'm wearing a Bruiser Brody T-shirt. You know, you got the Macho Man shirt on. You know, it's great.
And Kevin copied me tonight.
Yeah. Dude, you live here. You could have gone up and changed anytime you wanted to.
How many wrestling shirts do you own?
Probably 24, maybe more.
I own more now than I did when I was a kid.
Yeah, and half of them are probably ours.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I probably own like 70 wrestling T-shirts.
That many,
like,
really? Naughty.
My whole wardrobe in my closet, it's all wrestling T-shirts.
I did a going up to WrestleMania 30. If you follow me at Busted Open Radio, I did like about a month and a half before WrestleMania. Every day I wore a different wrestling shirt all the way up to WrestleMania. So I probably have about 61 wrestling shirts.
Yeah, that's
We have.
I shouldn't be saying this out loud. Shouldn't be saying it in front of my girlfriend. I lose a lot of points for having 61 wrestling shirts.
She's still as a 43-year-old man. So that's a win.
You're probably on the under for our audience in terms of their numbers. They probably have like 300.
They're good everywhere. Yeah. You can wear them anywhere.
You wear them everywhere. Who cares?
Also a good point, Matt.
What?
That went over your head.
Wow.
Let's move on to wrestling. How about that?
What? We've been talking wrestling for about half an hour now.
Recent wrestling.
Yeah, so we don't have to talk. We got Dave LaGreca in studio.
Yeah, Dave LaGreca already covered this. If you didn't listen to Busted Open yesterday, you missed out.
I did. I started listening to it.
I listened to it.
I honestly had to turn it off because I felt bad that I wasn't involved in it. Like, I can't.
You can call.
I could have called in, but I listened to it today. I didn't listen to it yesterday.
Let me ask you that. Callers, do you guys just sit there and stare at each other sometimes when people call and go, oh, this again? Or
No. I mean,
if I may, you guys have a really intelligent audience.
They do.
And they call in, and their questions are actually compelling, and I feel like they know what they're talking about.
No, they're always on point. Like, it's very rare we get, you know, a caller that will say something that's not off topic or not what we're talking about. It's very rare. I mean, no, our fans and our callers are great. I don't have a bad word.
You guys
to
have
say.
A good screener, though.
We have a good screener.
Yeah, we have no screener. So whenever the phone rings, it's just potluck.
No, we have a good producer. Mike Riker's our producer, and he fills in too if I'm out or Doug's out. So yeah, Mike's a good producer. So
now, what are the perks of having your own? We've been doing this for 3+ years.
I get
now
to come on your show and get a bottle of beer.
More than
who knows? Maybe a nifty looking Shining Wizards T-shirt.
We could set that up. I can take care of that.
Yeah, we'll get them.
So there you go. Those are the perks.
Yeah, we're going to have to. We're out of stock again. It's weird. We buy shirts. Yeah, we buy them to have on hand. Like, you know, we like to give them to the boys whenever we have them on the show or, you know, wherever we see them. But
does Dave Destruction have a T-shirt?
Dave probably has three, I think.
And it has no sleeves.
All of them cut the sleeves. That's the first thing he does.
Please tell me he walks around SiriusXM in a shirt with
no
sleeves.
He does not. He's a big dude, but yeah. He actually looks professional.
The sleeves are off the shirts we give him by the time he's out the front door.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
When was that moment where you're sitting down and you're talking to a wrestler and it's like, I can't believe somebody pays me to do this? Did you have that moment?
I mean, the first time, like, a caller said my name, like, the first time a caller called in and was like, LaGreca, and I was like, holy shit, you know? I just said my name, man. The first time I had Ric Flair on was like, wow, this is, you know, I'm talking to Ric Flair, the greatest of all time. I mean, you do agree. He's the greatest of all time.
Who was yours?
I'm a Bret Hart guy. You know this.
But you haven't talked to Bret Hart.
So I'll be talking to you from the rest of the interview.
No, he's got a boner for Bruno.
What's wrong with Bruno? You're talking to Dave LaGreca. You don't think he's a Bruno fan?
He's like, look, he's rubbing his arms.
No, I love
Bruno. Bruno's like a bear. He's a hairy bear. And he puts you to sleep.
You got the elite action figure.
That's the only figure I have hanging down here, if you didn't notice.
Bruno, when I had Bruno on. You know, Bruno is great.
I tried getting in touch with him. I'd love to sit down
he's
with
great.
Him, man.
But being in Jericho's latest book, he mentioned me in the latest his wow. last book, which was really, really cool. So things like that, like, you know, I was actually taking the train ride in, and I was reading his book, and then I was like, whoa, wait a second. Did this say La Greca?
And you had no idea that you
No, he didn't tell me.
He didn't mention The Shining Wizards in that book.
I don't think he did.
Because he did do our show.
He did our show.
He's like, dude, he's great. He is great. When did you have him on?
It came together last minute. Fozzie was doing a show at Mother's in Clifton on Mother's Day.
No.
Dingbats. Mother's. No. Dude, Mother's got knocked down.
Not Mother's. What was the bar?
Dingbats.
Sorry.
Did you go?
I went.
I was working for Mother's Day.
I was right in the front, man.
Were you?
Yeah, dude. I was knocking people
around. I was right there.
Did you see Kevin standing there holding a bag with a Shining Wizard shirt in it?
I waited for like 3 hours after the show because he just did the show that week.
Like a groupie.
So that's basically what I felt like. I'm like, listen, dude, I don't want to say what's up. I don't want to go nuts. I'm not a whatever groupie fan. All I want to do is say thanks for doing the show. Here's the shirt. That's all I wanted to do. And I stood out there for 3.5 hours waiting for him. I got to give the shirt to his manager, but never got a chance to. Say what's up.
He's wearing it right now, I'm sure.
He probably is. You're right. I have confidence in
I
that.
I hope so.
He is. He knows
so what was
doing.
It? That Tuesday, Matt reached out to him on Twitter?
No, I reached out to his record company.
Yeah. And he's like, we're local. The show's in our backyard. Is Chris interested? And literally before we started recording the show, he gets an email. Says like, yeah, Chris can do the show for 20 minutes. And that's how
awesome. Yeah, Dingbats is a great place to see a show, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Not so much if you want to give somebody a shirt.
No, not so much. But, like, my moment, like, my, like, mark out moment is when I get, like, a retweet from, like, Rob Van Dam or something like that. You're in a book. I'm marking out over a retweet.
No, but that's cool, too, man. It's great about social media, you know? You never know, you know, you could say something and people love it or people hate it. And, you know, CM Punk blocked me on Twitter. Hulk Hogan blocked me on Twitter. It's funny. Brooke Hogan follows me.
Oh, nice.
But Hulk. Blocked me.
No You're love. The winner in that situation.
I think so.
We're blocked. We're blocked by JBL and Michael Cole. So
now, what did you really?
I hate both. I hate
really.
I think his color commentary is awful. I don't have a problem with Michael Cole.
No, I think Michael Cole is actually and JBL like as a guest. As I love JBL, but I can't fight you on the whole thing with
him and Booker T is rough.
Dude, Booker T, I think Jerry Lawler. I killed you. Listen, Jerry Lawler is a legend. Who am I to talk about a Hall of Famer? But, man, his commentary is awful.
Yeah, he should have retired 15 years ago.
It's just one-liners. Like, you're watching Fastlane on Sunday, he's just throwing out one-liners the whole time.
Yeah. That's pretty much all he can do at this point. He's got two other guys now to deal with. When it was him and McMahon or whether it was him and JR, at least he could have a rapport. Now he's just kind of in the back seat.
Yeah, but even if you listen to some of the stuff with JR, JR really carried him.
Right.
What did you think of JR's work at Wrestle Kingdom?
First of all, you know, we had him on right after that, and they weren't produced. You know, him and Stryker were like not. They didn't even know like when it was time. They just started talking. They didn't even have like somebody point to them and say you're live.
Wow.
I thought he did a good job, and you know, I know a lot of people criticized it a little bit, but I thought he did a really good job of trying to relate to the American audience. You know, him and Stryker did a good job. Like, you know, they mentioned like Bruiser Brody, and some of the old stars, when American stars that went to Japan and stuff like that. I thought that pay-per-view itself was fantastic.
Phenomenal.
I thought that was one of the best pay-per-views in a long time. And I thought Stryker and JR did a really, really good job.
Stryker always knows his stuff. My only thing with JR is like it took him a while to get comfortable. You know, he didn't really feel – you could tell when he was speaking for the first couple of matches. He really didn't feel comfortable like in that position.
Yeah, I think it was because it was new to him.
Yeah, but he warmed up. By the time the last two matches came, the two championship matches, like he was into it. He was feeling it. It felt
and
like
those
the old
two
JR.
Matches were off the charts.
Absolutely.
And I think it's because they weren't produced, and I think it just took a while to just get – you know, trying to kind of get settled and, you know, and everything else. So.
And going back to WWE's, I guess, trifecta of color commentary with Jerry Lawler, Booker T, and JBL, I can't stand any of the three of them. I love Booker T. I'm one of his biggest fans. But as a color commentator, I think he's worse than JBL. And the fact that they're sitting two chairs apart, what am I missing? What are they seeing that I'm missing? Or that even with Jerry Lawler, why are the three of them still at that post?
Yeah, I think that, And you can go through like the last decade with their commentary. Even when Mick Foley, Taz was doing their commentary, you know, someone's in their ear. And you know, I have this problem. I talk about it on the show all the time. You know, Vince McMahon is sports entertainment. You know, he's not pro wrestling. So I don't think they're really I don't think he really cares about actually calling the match. They want the jokes. They want the Twitter and the social media promotion. They want Total Divas promotion. Right. They want all that. I think that is more important to them than the actual calling of a match. And Booker T, I actually think, I'm actually surprised. I'm not saying it's great, but I think Booker T's done a decent job on Raw. Not a great job, but, you know, he's seeing those pre-shows for the pay-per-views where I think he's kind of like off the track. I think he's done a pretty good job on Raw.
Now,
and I think Cole does a decent job.
No, I have no issue with Cole whatsoever. I think Cole's fine. Now, what do you think the happy medium is? Because when I heard that Stryker was going to be joining Jim Ross, I'm like, there's a chance that this could be too intellectual and too and just too, like, not smarty, but, like, too just, like, technical and not enough of the entertainment value, whereas I think WWE is the complete opposite. Is there anyone in particular that you could find that just pegged it as a color commentator, like, so perfectly?
Right now?
I mean, in the last, whatever, few years.
I mean, jeez. I like Taz. I think Josh Matthews and Taz have been pretty good. It's difficult because now they're not even trying to hide it. Yep. They're in another room doing it afterwards. So, but I think right now of all the major shows, actually, I probably would say, and I can't understand Spanish. Yugo Savinovich and Vampiro are probably the two best right now, but probably second best would be Josh Matthews and Taz.
There you go.
What do you think of them not being, like, in the arena for the Impact shows?
Here it is with Impact Wrestling and TNA in general. You know, I can't point fingers and blame anymore. You know, we've done enough of that over the years. It's bare bones now. Like, right. You know, you could complain about the production there at the Manhattan Center when they were there when they were with Spike. It was beautiful. I love the lighting. They really made that building look big and historic, and now it's completely dark. You don't even see the walls.
It doesn't seem like a wrestling show anymore.
Yeah, it's bare bones now, man. They don't have the money to put behind it anymore. And now look at it; they're losing people. I mean, I was saying that all throughout 2014, I said Bully Ray was the glue that held that company together. Bully Ray's gone.
Yeah,
and Samoa Joe's gone. You know, Velvet Sky's gone.
They've lost a ton of people over the past 2 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, they you know, you know, you can go back, you know, obviously Sting and Hogan. I mean, they don't have the money now to keep it together. And I almost feel sorry for them in a lot of ways. Some of it's their own fault. But, like, Hogan's there, and nobody cares. He goes back to the WWE, and people go absolutely crazy. Right. And then Sting. Like, they're going to sell out Levi Stadium for Sting, and it's like, hello, you could have saw him in this building that fits 1,200 people and probably paid the ticket for $20 to see him. Yeah. Nobody cared.
The one thing I will say about TNA is throughout their existence, whatever it be, like 12, whatever years they've been around, it seems like every single time they try to take a chance and try something new, at least their initiative seems to be there, but it's always taking a step forward, but then it's always two steps back. And I feel like just now, even now, there's a whole thing coming up now with Destination America and Discovery having an issue with certain cable groups. I think it's Comcast or something like that, where Destination America might not even be carried by some of the major cable providers. So it seems like their
audience has been cut in half.
Agreed, obviously. And their heart's in the right place. They're trying, but just nothing ever seems to work out for them.
But a lot of it's their fault. Like, Austin Aries wins the title, you know, a couple of years back, and there was a buzz. And I interviewed Dixie at the Brooklyn show.
That's my girl.
Matt.
Tony loves Dixie.
I got two Dixieland shirts. I love Dixie Carter.
Well, why do you need two?
Well, I got them one by accident. I didn't realize I already had one.
Okay. I got nervous.
He wears one for the wife and one for Dixie's wonky eye.
You ruined her for me. Every time I look at her now, that's all I notice is the one eye.
But I said, and she goes, you know, off the air, she goes, Dave, give me an honest assessment of where you think this company's going. I said, honestly, I questioned you guys in the past, but I think right now you're on the right track. I said, you know, you've gotten away of trying to be like WCW, and you have Austin Aries as your champion, and there's a buzz around it. Next thing you know, the next pay-per-view, Bound for Glory, they give the title to Jeff Hardy. It's like, why? I shouldn't have said anything, because obviously you're going to do the complete opposite. And I don't think that company is ever recovered from that. And listen, I understand why they gave the title to Jeff Hardy. They probably thought Jeff would take the company to that next level. But I think it was going to happen with somebody like Austin Aries, because you gotta start thinking in terms of using people that aren't former WWE superstars. When you turn on the TV and you see Kurt Angle and you see Hogan and you see Jeff Hardy, you're not seeing TNA. You're seeing a former WWE superstar.
Right, and it seemed, and we've talked about this ad nauseum over the past few months, is that every time they seem to give the ball to a young guy, whether it be Bobby Roode, James Storm, Austin Aries, it seems like it's only for a split second, and then it's back somewhere else. The constant title flops, and they don't have the commitment to. I mean, maybe now so they do, because they really don't have a choice in the matter. But back then, it seemed like they always tried to give someone the ball, but only for that long. And the next thing you knew, it wasn't there anymore.
Well, here's the big problem too. Who's the champion right now for
Bobby? Bobby Lashley, yeah. On TV.
Well, I mean,
on TV, Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like, I know we don't do spoilers on Busted Open. I don't know if you guys do spoilers.
If we get really upset, we'll,
here's
we'll
a spoiler. Bobby Lashley's a pussy.
Oh, Jesus,
come on.
Really?
We have a lady here
what?
Today.
I'm sorry. God. I've been calling out Bobby Lashley for like a year.
Why?
Because he wants no part of me.
Matt
wants to fight Bobby Lashley.
No, he wants Bobby Lashley in what are we up to, 3 minutes?
Bonesaw challenge.
Spider-Man?
He wants him 3 minutes in the cage. He thinks he can stay away from Lashley long enough not to get beat.
All right, so this is something that you've been saying on the air?
Oh, yeah.
And on social media?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you probably want to avoid doing that.
Thank you.
And, you know, Bobby Lashley.
Look,
yeah, you know, come on.
If this goes over well, you have my replacement.
That's
Dave
true.
Dave LaGreca's got a Tuesday, and we got a six-pack of Bud Light. I think it's a win.
Yeah. Bobby Lashley, I think, is a good champ.
I agree. I don't have an issue with that.
Despite you wanting to be in the cage with them for 3 minutes, I think Bobby Lashley's somebody that they could get behind. Whether he keeps the title or not, we'll see.
We will see.
Yeah, I don't dig the whole beatdown clan or whatever.
I hate the beatdown.
You know what?
I'm so tired of groups in TNA. TNA always feels the need to have like seven groups going on at once. Don't they have the Menagerie and they got the beatdown clan?
I don't even know if the Menagerie is around.
I see Crazy Steve
every
now
and then. Are
they not? They kind of made a joke last week when Crazy Steve was on TV during the gauntlet. Taz was like, oh, is he still trying to raise money for the circus back at home?
Oh, yeah. I always forget that that's what the initial angle was.
That was their angle?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were raising money for the
circus. That's why Nux was
stuck
the crew together.
And here's the thing with TNA, too, is what is TNA trying to be? Because I can't take my daughter, you can't take your son to a TNA show.
Yeah.
You can't do it because the crowd is like an ROH crowd. Not, I'm not killing an ROH crowd, but... You know, are they trying to be a TV family oriented product, or are they trying to be like a crazy indie scene type of product? I think they're trying to please everybody. WWE, you know what the WWE is. I don't think TNA in these 12 years that they've been around, I don't know that they have a firm grasp of what they're trying to be.
And we went to the taping at the Manhattan Center. I think it was still when they were with Spike.
It was September,
right?
Yeah.
And
it was November. It was the last set of tapings before they were off Spike.
Okay.
Which were great shows.
Yeah, they were actually building to something great at that point.
They were great shows on TV, but when you're there live for some reason, when it's taped more like you're taping a movie with stuff out of sequence and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It to me, it deflated the live crowd. And so whether or not they put reactions in post, I couldn't take it. I was there for like 3 hours and I didn't know what I'm seeing the same guys five times, which I get because resources, I understand that. But it just, I think it took a lot out of the live crowd, and that comes across on TV, whether you have post sound or not.
Yeah, well, they had to do a lot with their post sound because some of the chants that were going on were not good for TV.
Right. Yeah.
But I went to the last tapings at the Manhattan Center too, and They were. They were taping out a sequence. Some stuff they cut out completely altogether. And you're right. You're seeing multiple guys in multiple matches, and they're not playing it for the live crowd. They're playing it for the TV, which I totally get, because at the Manhattan Center fits, what, 1,200 people? Yeah. And you're hoping you're getting, at least they were getting, 1 million people watching on TV before they went to Destination America. But, you know, it's I've said it for years. If they can get a national deal, I think Ring of Honor could be that solidified second major organization.
Yeah, I agree. And there was just a little stir in the internet that they did have something with Spike, but that was shot down pretty quick.
Yeah, I think they have something good going, but they really need to get a national TV deal if they're going to be a major company. And they've been around for a long time, too.
Love Ring of Honor. He's our resident ROH guy. Matthew.
Did you go to Terminal 5 for the pay-per-view?
I didn't, unfortunately.
No, you probably watching it on TV was
probably the best thing.
It was bad venue for wrestling. Yeah.
It's more like a concert venue.
Yeah.
Well, when TNA,
I was surprised to see they ran there.
You couldn't see. You couldn't see. If you were not in the front, you couldn't see.
When TNA runs the Manhattan Center, and I love the Manhattan Center, but I cringe every time I see the carpeting on the outside. Did you ever notice that? They have like this terrible, terrible like carpeting with like plaid or something on it, and it's like just it's exposed over like the ring mats, like the outside, and it just makes me, it's one of my little things, I guess. I don't know.
It's all you, Kev.
He's not a big carpeting guy.
I don't know. Listen, this should be Tony, this should be hardwood down here.
Kevin should be wearing shoes right now.
I should.
I don't mind taking off my shoes. I don't have a problem. And I understand. This is your kingdom.
Well, typically when we have guests, I'll put the lights on outside and have people come to the back because we got the hatch back there. But there's like a foot of snow in my yard.
No, it was hard finding parking.
Yeah.
Couldn't find parking.
Oh, my neighborhood stinks. Ugh. Did you like the collection of furniture out on the street?
Well, that's the thing, man.
I hate that.
You got to put the cones in the chair so people don't take your spots. I hate that.
My brother-in-law is a cop in the next town in Kearney, and he said they tell everybody all the time, they send out phone blasts. If you leave furniture, it's going to be confiscated. You're not getting it back. They got a call one night from somebody on the street that somebody put a garbage can out. The cop on his own took everybody's furniture and moved it all down to the end of the block and just left it on the corner.
There you go.
That's what they need to do.
Kearney police are hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
Land of fish and chips, Kearney.
Yeah. At North Arlington, when I was back in high school in the 90s, they were out to break everybody's chops. They had cruising zones, prohibited cruising. I don't know if you remember, but Ridge Road here in North Arlington was the number one cruising spot in the country when I was in high school.
I don't know. I coming here, I passed Lee's Hawaiian.
Oh, yeah, they're still around.
And I haven't been to Lee's Hawaiian in like 20 years.
They still do great business.
I got to go to Lee's Hawaiian.
It's
Capetti, the former ring announcer. From Kearney.
Gary Michael? Gary Michael Capetta?
Yeah, Capetta. Sorry.
He's a Jersey guy?
He's from Kearney.
What?
I had no idea.
Born and raised in Kearney.
He's one of my favorites. I love Gary Michael Capetta.
Hey, he's awesome.
I agree.
He was the man.
He was good.
He probably still is the man.
Dave, let me ask you this. Is there anyone that's still on the bucket list that you haven't had a chance to talk to yet? Or is there anyone that you're just dying to that you haven't? Because it seems like every week it's somebody that's like just about as big as you can get.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to Dusty Rhodes. Would love to talk to Dusty Rhodes. Michael Haynes, I haven't talked to him.
Well, you could talk to Dusty Rhodes right now, Dave.
Though that's possible. That may be happening.
Well, Michael Hayes?
Yeah. And really, that's about it. I mean, Undertaker, obviously, but right. You're not getting the Undertaker.
Absolutely not.
But other than that, man, our producer, Mike Riker, is great at guest booking. He's been unbelievable. And, you know, I've been lucky to have pretty much everybody I wanted to talk to, yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Favorite interview? Ric Flair. We did a last year WrestleMania special. Ric Flair came on, and he was talking about WrestleMania 24 and talking about the Hall of Fame, and he broke down on the air. That's one of my favorite interviews. Paul Orndorff.
Orndorff.
He came
awesome.
On, and I actually got teary-eyed. He came on and broke the news that he had cancer, which, thank Ooh. God,
yes.
He's okay. That was a memorable interview. Shawn Michaels, a great interview. The first time we had Jericho in studio was great. You know, some really good memorable Bully Ray will just randomly, or Bubba Ray now, I guess I got to call him again, will just randomly call in. Taz is another one that just randomly calls in. Those are always memorable spots too.
Do you have a least? Sorry.
When Taz calls in, does he do Goofy now Taz, or does he do brother?
He does a mix of both, but the last time he called in, actually I wasn't on the show. It's when Bobby Roode won the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Mike was filling in for me, so it was Mike and Doug, and they didn't open up with Bobby Roode winning the title, and he actually called in and was legitimately upset that we opened up with the WWE Network's poor subscribers numbers instead of Bobby Roode winning the championship. So
yeah, I think I might have to go with that first.
So it wasn't
as well.
Goofy Taz. It was Angry Taz.
Angry Red Hook section of Long Island Taz.
But the problem was, is that the problem you have is that, you know, Bobby Roode actually won the title 6 weeks before that. So it's kind of difficult to break news, something that happened a month and a half before.
It's hard to keep track. It's like
difficult.
It's like the old WCW Disney taping days.
And I feel bad, too, because now I thought it was going to be good for them to be on Friday nights. I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse.
Well, weekends typically don't really draw that well for television regardless.
And people aren't talking about it because, you know, I know for our show, we would talk about TNA on a Friday. And now we can't do that. And by the time Monday comes around, it's old news.
Right. Is there somebody you wouldn't want to have back in studio? Or you just would rather not?
Wouldn't
want to
have back in studio. Not
interview again.
Bobby Eaton.
No, Bobby Eaton's great. I would talk to Bobby Eaton.
Wow. Kidding.
On, man. I would ask. First question out of the gate wouldn't be how you feeling. I would have an intelligent question to ask.
That's
him
good.
First, I thought the interview would go well.
We're
first
learning.
First question's the most important question.
See?
How you feeling?
This is why we're
leaving
here.
It. You're leaving it open for, you know, bad times. So
this is why Raven decides he wants to walk the dog in the middle of an interview with us.
You're never gonna
you don't listen.
Down? Listen, I'm not the one that asked Drew Gulak about his past wrestling experiences.
Man,
it's a work in progress.
That was a rough one.
There's been a few rough ones over the years.
I'm sure. I mean, there's always like ones that are kind of forgettable, but for the most part, there's really not that many. It's Harley, and it was great having Harley Race, but you know, it was a little bit of a difficult interview. But other than that, man, I really have no complaints.
If there's one guy I could recommend to you, Stevie Ray.
Stevie Ray was my
favorite. Yeah, I've never talked to Stevie Ray.
He ruled.
He was probably hands down, we say this every now and then, my favorite interview that we've ever done with Stevie Ray.
That's awesome.
We even asked him about the Hulk Hogan interview.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he said he was not surprised because he heard his brother call a lot of people that.
Great. That's good.
It was fantastic.
All right, now Dave, let's pick your brain right now on the current.
Let's look at the board.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. Everything that we've spoken about in this 58 minutes that I've been on the air with you guys, none of this was on the board.
And not
this is like totally like I'm impressed.
This is
right off the top of your heads. I'm very listen. I knew I was working with professionals when I came to North Arlington.
I wish we had a YouTube channel so everyone could see his face when he said that. It was fantastic.
Did you hold on before you
That's
jump
fine.
Into?
No, no.
Did you even bother to listen to anything we've ever done, or do you?
Oh
just,
no,
I came in blind.
Absolutely.
Have you really?
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't. Oh.
I was nervous about that. I was kind of wishing you didn't.
I get like awkward when people say they listen to us because I'm not used to we'll go to a PWS show and we have fans and I don't know how to deal. They're like, oh, great show. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then they want to talk to me and I'm just awkward because it's just the whole idea behind this was just us getting together to bullshit, drink, and talk about wrestling.
Yeah, this is our Rotary Club or Unica or, you know, or
well,
VFW.
You know what, though? But you got to get past that. You got to be that the show that you're doing right now is something that you want to take to that next level, sell to a major network and have you got to get over hey man, this is, you know, just for fun and just with hanging out
with
the guys.
I think we move past, it's still for me, it's just awkward cuz I don't get it.
Like this right here. This is what people see when they go out. Like, that's it.
No,
that's
just,
what
like,
he is.
Like, my fiance makes fun of me all the time. Like, we'll be she came to a PWS show, and like people were like coming up to us and talking to us. She's like, "How do people enjoy the stuff that I hate?" And I'm like, "Do you mean me personally?
Meaning you
or the wrestling?"
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I'd have to go 50-50 on that
one. It's still weird. I don't know how to take the... I don't even want to say fame, because I don't think we're that...
No,
we're
well, honest. I mean, here's... This is kind of like... I don't mean to bore you, but like I always... When I used to teach broadcasting, you know, I used to... You got to have the attitude that it's bigger than what it is. Try to, you know, cut down on the cursing. Try to make it sound as professional. And then when you go out, make it like you're, you know, make it like you're a superstar. You know, walk around, not be cocky, but, you know, yeah, if somebody comes up to you
swagger.
And says, but, you know, like, somebody comes up to you and said, "Man, Shining Wizards, I was listening to your show last Tuesday. You guys are awesome." Say, you know, "Thanks. I appreciate that." Make sure you tell your friends. And, you know, the Shining Wizards t-shirt is right back there. It's $25.
There you go.
I like
do
that.
You sell the Shining Wizards t-shirt?
Oh, yeah. We have like
is
seven or eight.
Is it the Shining Wizards or is it just Wizards?
Shining Wizards. This was just a Ramones gimmick.
Yeah, this was a one-off. They were having a sale for Thanksgiving, so we figured we'll thrill the people and give them a new design.
It's awesome.
It sold like hotcakes.
We have a pro wrestling tees shirt.
We did store.
We had a pro wrestling tees page before like Austin, JR, before all those guys got on board. Yeah. So. We got a bunch of shirts
but
there.
But I think Dave would enjoy the Kick logo shirt more than the Ramones shirt. Or maybe not.
He's I like the Ramones. Yeah, the Ramones. I mean,
we were going to do a Guns N' Roses style one. With us
with our four faces.
See, that's good,
that's terrible. I don't like my face when I look in the mirror. I don't want to see it on a t-shirt.
I like it.
Well, you'd be a skull, bro. Like GNR's.
Oh, that's an
upgrade. Look how cool you would look as a skull.
That's an upgrade.
Listen, with a ski cap on.
I like it.
I'm the only skull.
Hey, listen, skeletons got to stay warm, all right? Skeletons have to stay warm, too. There's no skin. There's no
this
fat.
This is really comfortable.
What, the couch?
No,
if it was
like,
plugged in, you could put the vibrator on.
Oh, no, it is
on.
Plugged in. You got switches there. Gets... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
See, look at that.
This is fantastic.
Welcome to the studio.
This is great.
Who's
this
running Sirius XM now?
Dave Destruction.
Yes.
No, not
with
Dave
his sleeveless shirts.
Oh, man. We totally went off the rails.
No, who's running
I love it
now?
I don't know. Who's in charge?
Of Sirius XM?
Yeah, like who's yeah, Mr. Sirius?
Oh, boy.
All right. We're not going to try to get the guy fired.
We're not going to get him fired, but we're going to send, you know, hey, maybe you should get a vibrating couch for Busted Open.
No. This could affect the on-air product. I would get nothing done if this was my chair at work.
It would just be sleeping. It'd be like Francesa.
When he had
now, you guys
mic.
Don't listen to Mike Francesa, do you? You do. You listen to Kay and Don, right?
Snowblower.
Every
I go back and forth because
Don and Mike
back.
Are my favorite ever. And actually, he retweeted me today, Don.
Did he really?
Yeah. So I'm a huge Don LeGrec because he talks hockey. He squeezes hockey in on his show whenever he can because he does the Rangers and everything. So even though I'm a Devils fan, I do love some Donnie.
See, I'll just listen to Francesa because I like when he gets, like, super annoyed and he starts screaming for no reason.
No, is that the reason why you listen to Mike Francesa now? You're waiting for somebody to, like, get on
like,
the air?
2 weeks ago, someone
like,
was like...
And destroy him. And
someone
like,
was like, "Hey, Mike, how do you feel about Vince Lombardi coaching the Dallas Cowboys?" Are you serious? Are you Vince Lombardi?
Is this
do you have a day job? What do you do?
That's a pretty good Mike Francesa.
What do you do? I'm a firefighter, Mike. Oh, you're a firefighter. Oh, you know. Okay. Why would you call and ask? Don't you people have day jobs? I don't understand.
That's pretty good.
That's why good I listen Mike to Mike Francesa.
That's why people listen.
Because he's just so easy to agitate.
He agitates me. I hate him.
Hello, Mike. First time. Long time.
Yeah, good. I don't care.
Do you remember the 1956 Yankees? I wasn't
born. I thought you were doing Doris from Rigo Park.
Yeah, was that Doris or Jerome Manhattan?
I wasn't born, but I know Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle, greatest baseball player of all time. Next call. All right.
That's funny.
Yeah, now you're going too long.
Sorry.
No one to quit there, pal. But,
Dry erase board.
Dry,
that's why you're right. That's all right, why
let's do rapid fire because
yeah, we're gonna Our time is limited now with Mr. LaGreca.
I got to do Dave Destruction's podcast right after
this. Are you really?
No.
No, because he's on the interview kick lately. I didn't know. Maybe, you know.
He's got a shirt now, Dave Destruction.
Yeah. The Arm & Hammer.
Yeah, David? Kevin's a medium. Tony's an XL. I'm a large. You can send those courtesy of the Shining Wizards podcast.
Hey, he gave us shirts last time he was here. We already got Dave Destruction
That's
shirts.
That's true.
Doesn't hurt to get more.
No, of course not.
T-shirts.
Of course not. All right, so no,
quick,
no,
quick
no,
take.
No,
wait, all right, go.
Let's go Hall of Fame because I know his opinions on Fastlane already.
That's true.
And quite honestly, whatever. Bushwhackers. Everybody's crying. Oh, how come the Midnight Express isn't in yet? And how come you know
Freebirds,
the British Bulldogs and the Freebirds?
Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah. So do you put any stock in like? Who goes in first in the Hall of Fame, or is this just kind of like to you, you know, the Saturday gimmick before WrestleMania to bring people together?
I mean, I'm a big Hall of Fame guy. Even like with the NFL Hall of Fame, I go every year. I'm like I mark out for like Hall of Fames. I'm just a big fan of that, the history and you know and the whole thing. The WWE's trying to do that. And I get it. And, they, you know, I mean, they don't even have an actual Hall of Fame. That's... Like, they do the whole tuxedo thing the night before WrestleMania. There's no Hall of Fame. There's no building. There's no plaque or bust anywhere.
And I remember when the first couple classes were just like a luncheon where they'd hold...
They did that like a banquet hall. So, but I buy into it. So, if you want credibility, then you got to be... I'll pass on the whole entertainment wing. I love how they say the entertainment wing. Well, there's no wing, but there's an entertainment wing at the Hall of Fame that doesn't exist. So, you know, you got... And even at the entertainment... How is Lawrence Taylor not in the entertainment wing? How is LT not in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think it's for the same reason China's not in the Hall of Fame. LT's got a few skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, but LT pulled out an amazing match with
How is Cindy Lauper not in the in
That's
the celebrity wing
that is
of the Hall of Fame? Or you can even go Andy Kaufman. How is Andy Kaufman not in the
That's
celebrity wing
true.
At all? So even there's no credibility to the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame when there is not actually a celebrity wing because there's no Hall of Fame.
God, that's true. There's the celebrity. People are bitching about the celebrity wing of a wrestling Hall of Fame about how that's not even up to par. That's very telling.
Well, Mr. T's in there now, so
but he took. How long did it take him to get in?
Schwarzenegger T. Mr. T is a first ballot celebrity wing. How did it take him all these years to get in there?
Schwarzenegger was on one SmackDown, and now he's in.
And they presented him with a championship belt too. Wait, didn't he induct Bruno?
He did induct Bruno.
Yeah, because those guys were... I wonder if Bruno's going to come back and induct him.
Oh,
that wouldn't be a bad idea.
I don't think Bruno's going all the way out to...
How's Bruno's doing? How's Bruno doing these days? Is he?
He's with it. He's always because totally
he was supposed to do
it.
A convention back in November in Heights. I was going to go see him. I never met the guy, and he wound up pulling out of it.
Kevin, me and Kevin, sign language.
I don't know. I didn't know we're being syndicated.
Awkward.
No, this is no. But to go back to what you're saying about the Bushwhackers, I did roll my eyes when I heard that the Bushwhackers were going into the Hall of Fame. I did roll my eyes.
Overall, though, even with Rikishi now in there.
Oh God.
See, like yeah. See,
you guys are gonna kill me. I never.
Probably mind. Not. Because
no.
I hate.
No, because then it's gonna get into a whole thing, and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna be here till 10.
All right.
And you're only on till 9. So I'm gonna be arguing about the Hall of Fame. That's not. There is a pro wrestling Hall of Fame in upstate
New York.
And that's
what I'm preaching to everyone.
There is a pro wrestling Hall of Fame, but you kind of lose a little credibility. And I know you guys are up against the break because that's why you're making all those hand. At least I hope that's why you're.
No,
making
Kevin's
all those
just spazzing out because he's on his 10th drink.
But you know, when you don't have the Midnight Express, you don't have the Rock and Roll Express, you don't have the Freebirds. And then, like, I thought the best work that they did, they weren't even the Bushwhackers.
Right.
They were the Sheepherders.
Sheepherders.
Yeah. And I never saw, but maybe the Junkyard Dog, but a character changed that much from what they were in the NWA and then what they were when they went to the
Huge
WWF.
Huge change.
Huge change. I mean, they were badass in the NWA as the Sheepherders.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
One last question before we take our break. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Since we brought up the Meadowlands earlier, is it that important for the wrestling business, for the workers, to be a part of Madison Square Garden or do you think that being wrestling in MSG or being part of a show at MSG, do you think that's kind of fallen by the wayside in importance to, like, say, appearing at a WrestleMania?
Well, I think for the wrestlers over the age of 30 or 35, I still think being a part and going and being a part of an MSG show still has something. You know, Thea Trinidad. I don't know if you've had her on, the, you know, former Rosita.
No,
she was a rosebud for Adam Rose.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's done a lot. I mean, she's been on pay per views. She was, you know, inspirational wrestler of the year for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. But what, even just being a rosebud at Madison Square Garden was probably something that was a big favorite memory because it was Madison Square Garden. I still think that still holds a lot to certain wrestlers, but you're right. I mean, I think newer people in the business, it's more about WrestleMania than it is about something like Madison Square Garden.
Are you sticking around? Do we have you for another hour? Or no, I'm curious, because if not, we'll say we'll give our plugs and we'll, you know.
I'll stick around a little longer.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Do you want to take a break then? We'll take a
Yeah,
quick
take
break.
A quick break. We have Dave LaGreca in studio. Busted.
I don't
open.
Know. Is it good for me to stick around?
It's good for us.
No, I don't know.
This
do
is
the,
fantastic.
Do the listeners want me to stick around? I don't know.
Well, I haven't
Maybe they don't like. Maybe you guys have that clever banter between you, and maybe I'm kind of stumming that right
no,
now.
No, I think you fit right in.
And you see, I haven't opened the phones because typically we'll get, hey, guys. So what are you doing?
Yeah, we our listeners, they call in, but they're
What's
not
the
actually listening to the show.
What's the number?
I can open it up. Do you want me to open up the
phone? Yeah,
phones?
Go ahead. Right, Dave LaGreca's in studio. BustedOpenNation.com is the website. Busted Open airs on Sirius XM Channel 92, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, 2 to 4 p.m.
Why was the hesitation?
No, he's doing well.
2 to 4.
At Busted yeah. Open on Twitter. Our phone number, 201-467-8949. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we'll come back, and if you want to talk to Mr. LaGreca and pick his wrestling brain, you're more than welcome to.
Or you could ask him about whatever you want, really.
Yeah, how he feels about no shoes in the Zatko's house.
Really? Kayfabe, we're dropping last names now?
Oh, I had to rename our Facebook page my name because
yes.
Stupid Facebook took us away.
Wait, please tell us more. I'm interested.
No, you're.
You probably have 80 podcasts in your queue that you'll never catch up on, but I bet none of them cover the worlds of professional wrestling and heavy metal music.
That's where Neckbreaker fills the gap. We drink a truckload of beers, interview the best metal bands, and cover the latest pro wrestling headlines, all in one drunken mess of a podcast.
Find our episodes on iTunes, The Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, and Neckbreaker.net. Be sure to follow our drunk and irrelevant updates on Twitter and Facebook. At NB Podcast.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting all of you, when you're done with this podcast, head back on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, where myself and Dave Mega Powers are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, covering everything from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks on the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, entertainment here.
Hi, this is Justin.
And Tim.
And Vince.
And Timmy.
And we are your hosts of the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, bringing you the best in entertainment news and opinions. We cover the worlds of movies, TV, music, sports, video games, comic books, and of course, professional wrestling, as well as pop culture top 10 lists and fan castings. New episodes every Sunday. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Finally Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audioboo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
What's up, everybody? This is Dave Destruction of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and I'm here to talk to you about Thursday Night Destruction. Join me every Thursday night exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, where we talk about the world of professional wrestling, professional sports, and I might give you a couple tips on how to live your life. Join me every Thursday night for Thursday Night Destruction exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
Wow, we're coming back from break. We have Dave LaGreca from SiriusXM's Busted Open, and we have a phone call. Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, you're on with Dave LaGreca.
Hey, it's Sam Roberts.
What's up, Sam?
What's up, buddy?
Thank you for calling, man. I know that you had Shining Wizards on while you were cleaning the kitchen or doing your honey-do list, and you took time out to call. I appreciate that.
That's right. I was doing my chores, and I had my headphones in so I could listen to Shining Wizards, and I had to see what is Dave LaGreca complaining about now in the world of wrestling.
Wow! See, he calls me out all the time. He calls me an old man that complains 24/7.
He wants to know, why is it so hard for Sam Roberts to take a picture in his Shining Wizards T-shirt?
You know why? Because I'm like, okay, yeah, I see the tweets. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I don't. And then I don't do it until I get another tweet about it. And then I go, oh, I feel bad. I'm going to do that. And then I don't. And that would be the explanation for that.
Hey, I heard you're doing the Thursday Night Destruction next week with Dave. How's that going?
I don't know if I'm booked for that right now. I'm going to have to talk to my booking agent. I don't think that's confirmed.
Now, we asked Dave, and we need confirmation. Does Dave Destruction walk around SiriusXM with sleeveless shirts?
No, but he wears T-shirts that are, like, super, super tight. Like, he'll wear, like, a polo shirt or a T-shirt with, like, short sleeves that are way, like, it's, like, at least a size, if not a size and a half, too small.
And it's awkward because the nipples are showing, and, you know, it's, you don't want to look down, but you can't look up. It's difficult.
Yeah,
very
and I don't
difficult.
Know if it's something like, because, like, LaGreca there works in the sports department where Dave works, and, like, we're, like, in talk. We don't let the board ops, like, show their nipples like that. So I don't know if that's a sports thing or if that's just something that's frowned upon in everyone.
It's possible. Now, Sam and I, like, we do a show without doing a show. Like, he'll come by in the morning when I'm doing my NFL stuff, and we'll do, like, a Sam Roberts, Dave LaGreca show just for us.
Yeah, and it's actually better than Busted Open.
Wow, that's
incredible.
Wow, that's really, really, really nice of you, Sam.
What is Sam Roberts eating for breakfast? We know he doesn't eat like a grown adult. So does he have a bowl?
A goldfish crackers.
Goldfish for breakfast?
Goldfish crackers.
That's right. It's goldfish. I like the pizza flavor goldfish. That makes for a good breakfast.
Now, Sam Roberts, and this is a true story. My daughter's a big Sam Roberts fan. Has nothing to do with, you know, the Sirius XM is Friday show.
It's the hair.
Which is great. No, it doesn't have anything to do with the hair either. She loves the countdown shows on the network. Sam, they should call the WWE Network, WWE Network with Sam Roberts, because he's all over that network. So probably now for about 6 months, I have asked Sam for an autographed 8x10 for my daughter, and he's big time in me.
You're not the only one. Sam, this is Shining Wizards, Kevin. I've asked him for one because my buddy and his my buddy's wife is a huge Sam Roberts fan.
Dude, who is it? Wall of Fame. Yeah. I asked him when he was here last week.
Sam, what's going on, dude?
Right, look, I'm not big-timing anybody. I feel very silly giving people autographed photos because I'm like, for what? But, I mean, I got photos. I got, like, headshots that I can sign. So I'll give you – I guess I just have a difficult time believing that I'm not going to hand somebody an autographed photo and then get a bucket of pig's blood dumped on my head with everybody. They're all going to laugh at you.
All right. I don't believe that it's- I had that nice Carrie/Adam Sandler bit there. All right, Sam, because we were just talking Hall of Fame before the break. I think I already know what you're going to say, but what are your thoughts on the Bushwhackers going into the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think
in the mid-card wing of the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bushwhackers, look, are you going to list all the tag teams that aren't in the Hall of Fame and say, do the Bushwhackers deserve to be there before these guys? I don't think that's how it works. You can't put everybody who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame in order, because then you've got like 10 years of good Hall of Fame ceremonies and then 10 years of terrible ones. So you have to mix in some undercard, some big, you know, there's got to be a draw. They're selling tickets for the ceremony. So, like, do I think the Bushwhackers deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Of course they do. So do the Rockers. So do Demolition. So does the Hart Foundation. So does every major tag team of that era that made an impact. You talk to people now, and they still remember the Bushwhackers. The Bushwhackers made a big impact. And if you're just talking WWE, they made a big impact in the WWE in the early 90s. You know, they got, of course, the Sheepherders and all that. But, yeah, the Bushwhackers deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Did little Sam Roberts ever get his head licked by the Bushwhackers?
I'm going to tell you something. We had whichever Bushwhacker does publicity. One of the Bushwhackers doesn't come out of his house, and the other one is out of his house all the time. The one that's out of his house all the time did Opie's show like 3 years ago, and he licked my head for that, except my world was rocked because I realized the trick. That he's just licking his forearm. They never licked anyone's head. They just grabbed them and they licked their own forearms. I didn't have not one bit of Bushwhacker saliva on my head.
Do you regret that?
Of course. I mean, you think it's a certain way, and then it's not. It's kind of a shell-shocking thing.
Sam, since the other hosts aren't coming in, I'll start talking.
I love it. Sam gets on the line, and Dave just lets loose.
That awkward pregnant pause, so I felt I had to jump in. But you mentioned the Hall of Fame class, and I get it. You're right. I mean, because I always look at things in terms of the sports world. Sam and I have this debate all the time. You know, in the NFL Hall of Fame, it's about, you know, who's more deserving. But you make a really good point, Sam, in the fact that they got to sell tickets and they got to make it a show. So they got to kind of spread it out a little bit. Though I really do think that this class isn't a big seller. Like, this is like a really, right now, weak Hall of Fame class.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sam.
No.
Wow.
The problem is the Macho Man is dead. If the Macho Man was alive, this would be an amazing Hall
yes,
of Fame
absolutely. Class. Oh, you could just Man have dead. If Macho Man was still alive, you could just have the Macho Man going in the Hall of Fame this year, and you would sell out the building.
Right, exactly.
But do you think it falls into that category, like the event itself sells the tickets? Like, before WrestleMania is even announced, the card, the main event, like, people are buying tickets just because it's WrestleMania. Do you think because it's the WWE Hall of Fame, excuse me, people are just buying tickets to be a part of it regardless of who's going in?
I think you've got a situation, yeah, it's somewhat. I think that there are some people who are doing that. You're not selling out the Hall of Fame just based on the name Hall of Fame. And I think if you have a weak Hall of Fame ceremony, then it's really going to affect next year. Like, WrestleMania has been WrestleMania long enough that the name itself will sell the show. But the Hall of Fame, the only reason that now there's people who buy these things, because tickets, is because the last few years have been really good. So if you have one lousy Hall of Fame show, then you've instantly wiped out that credibility. It doesn't have enough built up yet to last on that.
Another awkward pause.
It's all right. I love it. I live in there.
So, Sam, so I'm going to jump in once again.
There's three of us here.
Sam, WrestleMania 31.
I got a text from Dave, and he said to call in. I didn't mean to ruin like the chemistry that was happening.
No, Sam.
Okay, Sam.
We
have somebody that's harassing us. Apparently, they really need to speak to you. So I'm going to take a call. Is that cool?
Absolutely.
All right, we should give it a second. Lady Di, you're on with Sam Roberts.
Oh, my God. Where's LaGreca?
Uh-oh.
Who's this?
Larry Dallas.
Oh! Calls in. See, this is... So is Sam still on the phone?
Sam is
here. Wait a second. So you have Dave LaGreca, you have primetime Sam Roberts, and the great, the most hated manager in pro wrestling, Larry Dallas, all on at the same time. Is this an historic evening or what?
Yeah, we can't think of any questions to ask.
What's going on, Larry?
Not much. What's going on with you?
All right, let me bring you into the topic of conversation right now, and then we'll bring Sam in, and then we'll get what you're doing right now. Bushwhackers in the Hall of Fame, yay or nay?
Considering I dressed up like them for Halloween, the child in me says yes. If it's cheap herders and total everything of the career, I'm okay with it. Bushwhackers themselves is a Hall of Fame tag team? No. But, like, if it's the sheep herders, maybe. There's going to be Hall of Fames all for, you know, it's not to be taken as serious as going to Kent and should be or something, I think. So I go either way on it.
Fair enough.
I agree. Like, the order of the Hall of Fame means nothing to me, who gets in where. And like you said, and that's not just because you have to sell out a show every single year. It's a worked business that you can't. Who's to say who gets in where?
What do you think? Like, what do you think if they did eligibility requirements like they did with the NFL? Like, you have to be like 10 years out in order to be.
It's difficult. Like, you know.
Is someone eating potato chips?
Yeah, I'm opening up my food. Is that okay?
This is prime, excuse the pun, prime snack time.
It
it's
is.
8 o'clock.
Sam, wait, I need to interrupt.
And I'm
sorry.
Taking, listen, just so you guys know, Larry and Sam, this is like network TV time too. So Sam's got to talk about these network shows tomorrow, but he throws to call into Shining Wizards. I think... That deserves a little...
Sam could talk about what a great time he had on Shining Wizards tomorrow morning for 20 minutes. Nothing?
Yeah, wow. I probably will. This has been a great time. I had lots of pauses for me to jump in.
Yeah, Larry, if you get one of those, a pause that you can drive a truck through, feel free to just jump in
getting beat
and
up.
Talk.
Absolutely, no problem. I got the DVR muting the network television for tonight, so it's okay. I have no distractions right now.
What's on tonight? What do we watch on Tuesday nights when you're not listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast?
I'm a big fan of the day after. Wait, are you talking to Sam or me?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
I'll let Sam go first.
Oh, man. This is great. This is great.
This is good stuff.
It's awesome having four hosts and two guests on
and
at the
no
same
one knows
time,
what to say.
And there's dead air.
That's what we bring to the table, Dave. Right? That's the unique format. That
this
the
is
kind of
like my
have.
Sports radio final at CSB.
All right, so Larry Dallas. What is Larry Dallas? What's going on in the life of Larry Dallas right now, other than being on The Shining Wizards?
He's Best watching
podcast.
Television.
What do you got? I want to know what.
All right, wait, really quick. Let me take over. All right.
You're welcome to Busted
Open. We'll go Sam, and then we'll go Larry. All right? Really quick. We went over to Bushwhackers. Let's talk a little bit about the pay-per-view that we just saw on Sunday, Fastlane pay-per-view. What do you think about now, the final decision, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar in the main event?
I'm just finishing my spring roll. I'm super happy about it. I think it was, I mean, you know, it's risky, but I think it was done well. I think the match was really, really good. I thought on Raw, you know, Roman keeps doing better. He's not perfect, but he keeps doing better. I kind of wish that they had done the Roman segment at the end of Raw instead of the middle part there. But I think it's, you know, for a long time, we've been saying that the product's stale and that we're tired of seeing the same main events and all of this stuff, and we're finally in a spot where we've got this thing that we haven't seen before, and I wish people would give it a little bit of a chance before they took a giant shit on it.
What do you think, Lar?
I personally think that, you know, I think Rollins is going to end up with the belt the Raw after, or sometimes shortly after, so if you take that into consideration, you know, I think the fans are more likely to backlash over Bryan winning the belt at WrestleMania and then losing it the next day again and having a short reign, so maybe that's the long-term plan that's going to go to Rollins anyway. Maybe having Reigns in that position is better short for the short term also. I don't see whoever wins WrestleMania or whoever's in that main event. I think the belt's going to Rollins right away or shortly thereafter, because I don't think he can not cash in the briefcase to win the belt anyway. So,
you know, Larry, that's a good take. And I think what Sam is saying is good too. I mean, that's your main, whether you want the Daniel Bryan in that main event at WrestleMania or not, it's not going to happen. So right now, I think the best thing to do is just get behind a Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match at WrestleMania.
Well, I think.
And by the way, we've seen Daniel Bryan in the main event for WrestleMania, so it's not like it's new. It's just cool to see again, but it's not new and
true.
It's not fresh. And, you know, if you watch the pay-per-view and you watch what they've been doing with Daniel Bryan, he's absolutely in the main event picture. He's still one of the top guys, so it's not like he's getting buried. It's not like he's out of the main event scene. He's still there. He just doesn't have that one WrestleMania match, which I think is okay.
And Daniel Bryan's better on the chase, too. I mean, like you said, he had that moment at WrestleMania 30. He's still in that picture, and I think Daniel Bryan's better in that chase mode anyway.
Money's always in the chase. So that's, you know, historically what the business is always built on, is that the money's in the chase. So, you know, I mean, I know that WWE always had the babyface long-reign champions, but, you know, NWA always had a predominantly heel champion that was getting chased by babyface. So, you know, it's different ways of doing things, but the money's always in the chase. I mean, eventually you have to pay it off, but, you know, the money's usually always in the chase. So, I mean, I have no problem with it long-term. We have to see how it plays out first. Plus, we don't even know if Brock's going to be here a month from now or even next Monday. He walked out yesterday.
Larry, you just brought up my next point with the uncertainty of Brock Lesnar's future. People forget that now SummerSlam is just as big, obviously a little less than WrestleMania. With not knowing whether or not Brock Lesnar's going to be around, you could still see a Daniel Bryan-Roman Reigns match, and if Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins is the champion, do you guys think, and I guess we'll start with Sam and then Larry, is there money at a SummerSlam main event with Daniel Bryan and Rollins or Reigns?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, in all honesty, 2 months ago, I really wanted a Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins WrestleMania main event. I think that's. I mean, if that's built up right, that's a huge money match. But I mean, the Reigns Bryan thing is amazing too, because, you know, Reigns is not only this big guy who's got all the physical gifts that Daniel Bryan doesn't, but he's perceived by the audience as the guy who was handed everything. Whereas Daniel Bryan's the guy who's had to work for everything he's ever gotten. And I think what's made this current Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan story so good is that Daniel Bryan is really flirting with being a heel, because he's not being humble. And that's kind of what made him charming and what made him, you know, people's hero. And this guy, he was humble and he had humility throughout the whole thing.
And that's sort of being chipped away as he's becoming aware of, hey, the crowd wants me. I should be in the main event. And I think it makes for super good storytelling. I don't think they need Brock Lesnar. I think if Brock Lesnar leaves after WrestleMania, it's not detrimental whatsoever. I don't think that WWE is in a position right now where they need part-timers anymore.
I agree. And Seth Rollins is your top heel in that company. And I don't think you need Brock Lesnar moving forward. I never would have said that, but I think Sam nails it. And I think moving forward, you really don't need these part-timers anymore. I don't think you need The Undertaker at WrestleMania 31.
Amen to that.
Do we ever see a storyline going forward where Daniel Bryan is not the underdog?
Yeah, I think so. I think they should turn him heel. I think he's right in a prime moment where he could easily turn heel. And I think he's one of the few guys that fans, he's so good at being a heel that it's fun to boo him. And so I think he can get people to boo him. I think he can be obnoxious. I think he can be, he can make his head become completely inflated. He can develop an ego. We've seen it before. He was a great heel on SmackDown. So I think that, as far as being the underdog thing, that story's been done right now. And I think a Daniel Bryan heel is really compelling.
And I you say about him not being the underdog, a lot of people didn't think he was the underdog on Sunday. And he was the aggressor in that match. So I think you have to look at Daniel Bryan in a completely different way now. And I really think those yes chants kind of die down a little bit. He's not nearly as popular as he was a year ago.
So I think it's because he's flirting with that heel thing.
Yep.
Because he's gone out and he's bullying Roman Reigns. Like in the promos, he's the one who's bullying Reigns, not the other way around. It doesn't feel like David versus Goliath. It's not so much an underdog thing. It's him going out there and telling Reigns, you have no heart, I don't like you, and you don't deserve to be here. And right. Reigns is going like, hey, I'm just trying to do my thing. So yeah, I mean, I don't think Daniel Bryan is the underdog, is the future of this thing.
And I agree with that, especially I think a lot of people forget what he did last year at WrestleMania because he was hurt and off TV for so long after. The guy beat Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista in one night at that WrestleMania. To me, that underdog image should have been dropped right then and there. But the fact, I think, that he was off TV for so long hurt him, and the fact that coming back again with Roman Reigns being the guy that WWE obviously pegged for the next guy kind of put him right back into that pigeon-held position. So my question is now, obviously, who do you guys see as the future Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan? Is there room for both of them?
No, because Sheamus is coming back.
Larry, go ahead.
The future of, like, on the baby system, there's always room for more than one star. You know, when you guys are talking about, like, it's the money match for SummerSlam, like, we got to start looking at things differently now because we're not going to have pay-per-view buys to base off of who's drawing anymore. You know, it's going to be the product that sells overall, the house shows. It's all going to be about a network number that we're not going to have access to except quarterly. So, you know, they probably have more flexibility now to move things up and down and move people in and out of certain situations, see who can really grow to be a top star now, because the business economics of it, the economics of the whole business has changed. Because if you put on a weak pay-per-view, it's no longer a pay-per-view. You know, Fastlane might not have been as strong as we wanted it to be, but I didn't cancel the network because of it. You know, you're basically doing it $10 a month to for the hope that the next month is going to be, you know, worth the $10 that you spent it on.
And here's Larry, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I cut you off all the time. But, like, John Cena, everyone complained that most of the show was dominated by a John Cena. Maybe they're going in a different direction. It's not going to be that. You have room for multiple baby faces. You don't have to have a face of the franchise, so to speak. You can have a couple of different people on top of the card.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. I mean, that's what you're doing. The change of things now and Cena being, you know, moved down,
everyone should get a shot now to kind of move up the card and see where things are going. But, you know, Reigns or Bryan, I don't think they see Daniel Bryan as a guy that, maybe the diehard fans see, and the people that have grown with him from an independent level or, you know, early in his rise. It's clear they don't see him that way. I think Roman Reigns is going to get more opportunities to be the guy, but whether it succeeds or fails, but I think Seth Rollins has a better shot at being, you know, a top guy for a long period of time. I think Dean Ambrose, if they ever give him an actual match that has a completion to it, might have a shot still. There's a lot of different guys there, you know, but I don't think they're ever going to see Daniel Bryan as being the guy that maybe fans think he is. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, he was destined for a Rey Mysterio like run with the belt when he won it last year. And, you know, luckily the injury kind of saved him from that.
Oh, good point.
And I think this is... We're gonna let our pal Dave
give me the axe.
I guess. Oh, I mean, you're more than welcome to hang. We just wanted to make sure that you get out of here in time to do what you have to do. Larry, Sam,
you guys, yeah. Let these guys plug before they go.
Yeah. What do you guys got going on? We'll start with Sam.
No, start with Larry. Come on.
What difference does it make?
We started with Sam with every question so far.
We just talked to Larry for 2.5 minutes straight.
Well, Larry's all warmed up. He's got the juices flowing. Sam knows what to plug. Sam's good. You know.
All right. So Larry, please Thank enlighten you. Us with what you have coming up on the horizon for you, sir.
I believe I'm on the Evolve show next Saturday. I don't think it's been announced yet, so I don't even know how to promote that. But, you know, it's not like Dave could fire me a second time. So, you know, May 9th, I'll be doing Evolve in Deer Park, New York. March 9th, not even March still. Still warmed up over here. March 9th, I will be doing Evolve at Deer Park, New York. That's going to be featuring Roderick Strong versus Drew Galloway in a cage match, a couple other matches, and that'll be on live on iPay-per-view at WWMLive.com. Those are my major things. Otherwise, I'll be listening to the Sam Roberts show tomorrow and also Busted Open
tomorrow.
On SiriusXM. So.
And not the Shining Wizards. Sam.
I'll be wearing my pink Shining Wizards shirt, though.
There
awesome.
It is.
Well, first of all, I want to say Busted Open is a very good show. I made a joke earlier. Dave knows I listen to Busted Open, I mean, 3 times a week, so I'm there. I'm
Thank
live
you,
to
Sam.
Five. That's me.
Thank
but,
you, Sam.
I'll have, of course, if you're not watching Pro Wrestling Syndicate TV, I don't know what's wrong with you, because it's a riot. definitely watch PWS TV. I'm on OB Radio on SiriusXM way too much as it is, but listen to that, and Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, new one drops tomorrow. Shawn Michaels was this week's guest. The new one tomorrow is Mark Henry. So it's
nice.
A good one. So subscribe on iTunes. It's free and blah, blah, blah.
It's good stuff.
Very nice.
Sam, please, just take a fucking picture in our T-shirt.
No, you're right. You're right.
Please, that's all I want from you.
An autographed 8x10 and a picture in the T-shirt.
Yes,
that's it.
That's it.
It's a whole fan package.
And a couple of bucks if you got it.
It's a whole fan package, man.
We're simple people. That's all we want.
Oh, simple is not the word.
Sam, Larry, thanks so much for joining Shining Wizards.
Yes, and thank you for answering Dave's text.
Guys, have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, left him on a good note there. We are going to say goodbye to our in-studio guest.
Thank you for having me.
It was our pleasure.
It was awesome.
This was a great
time.
This
was awesome, man. We never thought much of North Arlington, but now
he's in the mix.
Is there something we can play so we can grab a quick picture with Dave before he gets out of here?
Yeah, I could play a song. I could play some music.
That's what we've become now? We're going to play music?
I could play the commercial block again.
What's the next thing? What's the next event you're going to be at?
Probably here in studio next week.
I'm always at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, so March 6th they're doing a show.
That's in Union, isn't
that's
it?
In Union.
I think I'm going to that show because it's like pretty much 10 minutes from here.
Yeah, and then March 28th I think is their next big show at Rahway, New Jersey. So we'll be.
Is
there
that the
for
one
that.
Where Mick Foley's bringing in Terry Funk, or is that
no?
In
that's
April?
Spring Breakdown. That's April.
They pack so
well, who
much.
Takes
onto
the, who's
shows.
Gonna take the picture?
Can you? Can your girlfriend take a picture?
Violetta will take the picture. So why don't we do it on the air? Take the picture and can you come around here?
Yeah.
It'd be like an action shot.
Sure. Yeah, we could do that.
And then
absolutely.
You can stay on the air. You don't have to play circus theme music.
That's a first time. That's a first timer so, right there.
You
don't have to do that. It could be a new bit.
You
take the picture while you're on the air.
You know what it was? Like, you were getting in control for a minute. Like, you were starting to direct, like, oh, Sam, what do you think of this? And blah, blah, blah. So I thought you were just running with it. And far be it from me to step on the professional's toes. And then Dave was just taking a break, sipping his coffee. And Kevin and I looked at each other like, duh.
No, this is a new experience for
everyone.
We could
play some metal.
Yeah, play some metal. I don't care.
What do you want to hear, Dave?
He doesn't have his headphones on.
He's got them on for the action shot.
I had to have it on though for the phone call.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
Won't be able to hear Sam and Larry.
I could put on some Ariana Grande.
No, absolutely not. I'll hit you in the head.
All right, just do something. All right, yeah, figure something out.
All right, you want to put something really good on?
Yes.
And you won't have any copyright infringements? Hostile Rage, Dead Meat. Pop that on right
Go
now.
Go ahead.
Hostile Rage. Give a little love to Hostile Rage. They were big in 1987.
Hostile Rage, did you find
there
it?
There you go.
Perfect.
There you go.
Turn my shit on.
Yep.
There it is. So enjoy Hostile Rage, Dead Meat, while we take a photo with Busted Open's Dave LaGreca.
Yeah, maybe you can hear us, maybe you can't. Tough luck.
All right.
All right. We are back.
We are back. I hope you guys enjoyed the smooth stylings of Dead Meat via Hostile Rage. Hostile Rage. Very very soothing name there.
We've
what?
Dave
Enough Iago.
No, not enough Iago. Dave LaGreca was going to only stay till 8, but he was having such a great time. He decided to stay a little longer, which we greatly appreciate.
Absolutely appreciate.
We've never really had a situation where somebody leaves in the middle of the show, so we kind of just did it on the fly.
Yeah, because he was gracious enough to stay past that first hour. So, again, it's appreciated, and you guys got some Hostile Rage out of it.
And if you guys want to check out Dave's show, it is on Sirius XM, Channel 92, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 to 4 o'clock East Coast time. So figure that out, you weirdos in the central Midwest and the West Coast.
What are you doing over there in the Central America? Get out of here.
at Busted Open Radio. Follow him and Doug. They do a great job, and it was really cool to have him.
It's always good when you have someone who's been around the block and knows exactly what he's talking about, and you could tell he felt right at home when he had Sam and Larry on, just taking the reins, and really cool. Learned a lot from him, and we appreciate it, and we hope to have him back at some point soon. So. It was interesting to get their take on the current product. What we didn't touch on, however, yet was the Sting Triple H altercation at Fastlane. At least I don't think we did.
Without diving into it too deep, just because we only have so much time left, I thought Fastlane wasn't the greatest pay-per-view ever, but I, outside of the finish to the IC title match, which is the only thing I didn't put on the dry erase board, I really didn't think it was a terrible pay-per-view.
On that notion, I agree with you. I thought it wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't underwhelming. I thought the main event was fantastic between Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. I thought that the Triple H Sting segment, and we're not going to go through everything, but this is a pretty big fucking deal. The Sting Triple H face-to-face. For me, I don't know if it was the crowd. I don't know if it was just how Sting looks now, felt a little flat to me.
I think the whole crowd throughout the pay-per-view was flat, though.
I enjoyed like the whole thing where Sting gets the bat real quick because Triple H gets the sledgehammer, puts in their points to WrestleMania. Felt that was great, but like, it's hard to get past when the crowd is just so not there for it. And it didn't feel like Sting with the t-shirt wearing still. He looks his age, which is unfortunate because this match is a match that will be probably talked about for a while after WrestleMania, and it's such a big freaking deal that it didn't. I don't think that segment got the reaction that it should have or got its just due.
See, I'm not one of the people who, I don't invest into the crowd reactions.
You just take whatever they give you at, not the crowd, but
not
the segment.
Crowd, but it's,
the
it's,
segment, whatever I, they present to you, the talent, you go by that.
Right. It's my reaction. I could care less what the crowd is doing. Of course, in certain situations, it helps, but I'm going to react the way I'm going to react, and I can't worry about anything else the crowd is doing. You got to, 3 hours, three and change, it being a pay-per-view, I mean, maybe you go and you have a track record and you lose your voice easily, so you're waiting for the Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, the main event. Like, there's so many things. Oh, maybe people just aren't into it.
And Sting's music is freaking terrible.
I hate that they refer to him as the Vigilante Sting.
Vigilante?
The Vigilante.
The New Alante?
No, I hate it. His music is absolutely terrible. What they're doing, they're trying to give him the whole dark. Just what was wrong with his, if they had it?
They have to put a WWE spin on everything they do. That's just what they do now.
It was so bad. It's so bad.
But Dave made a good point. It's not like you couldn't find Sting for the past 14 years. It's not like he dropped off the face of the earth.
Right.
It's not like he was like a missing bushwhacker where they have to dig him out of his house in New Zealand now to get him to come out for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Butch was the one that doesn't do stuff. Luke is always all over the place.
This is it's too bad that this is all going on in California, because if this happened a couple of years ago, this might be a perfect opportunity for PWS to try to get the Bushwhackers to come out. I know they've talked about it.
Oh, they're all over. Eric knows what he's doing. Pat knows what
he's doing. But this was the one time where like he's actually coming out of his house, or maybe he's not. Maybe they're just inducting the one and the other one's staying home.
I can't imagine.
Like via satellite.
Nah, he'll be there.
Is there anything else we need to cover? I feel like we kind of...
What time is it? We got time.
Yeah, we got stuff we got to talk about, too.
I mean, me and Matt, are we going to bring that up tomorrow night or no?
Yeah, but you guys are doing a whole other show.
We're
going
to do a Ring of Honor special tomorrow night to really focus on the pay-per-view. We're recording it tomorrow night. It will be up anytime between Thursday and Friday.
Right.
Oh, you don't want me to air it tomorrow? Or?
I mean,
we have a lot going on for that show. Matt has done a fantastic job putting it together.
We have about 8 guests that are going to call in.
It's going to be a long show.
Jesus.
But it'll be fine because there's a lot of stuff. And whatever we don't get to tonight, we could also probably touch on tomorrow a little bit too.
I mean,
apologies real quick. Ustream hates us tonight. It's dropped out no less than 7 times. I can't keep up with how many times it's dropped out. I don't know what's going on with it. Sometimes it'll stay on for a half an hour straight, and then other times it'll just drop every 2 minutes. It just dropped again.
The trials and tribulations of going live.
Yeah, it's highly unusual for us for tonight.
Tomorrow night me and Kevin are gonna talk to Matt Taven. We're gonna talk to Moose. We're gonna talk to Michael Elgin. We're gonna talk to Hanson. We're gonna talk to Nigel McGuinness.
Hello.
We're gonna talk to Tommaso Ciampa. We're gonna talk to Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Briscoe.
I think it's Ciampa, by the way.
Ciampa?
Because I think Dave was talking.
Were talking about the show with him yesterday.
Yeah, Ciampa.
But
I think it's, we called him Ciampa.
Sorry, there's an I in there.
Whatever.
Well,
it's not my name.
It's a stacked show. Ring of Honor 13th anniversary show this Sunday night, live on pay-per-view. I highly recommend you check it out. Dave said it before, if they get a national TV deal, they'll be the number two. They have a lot of great things going on, a lot of young talent there. ROHWrestling.com, you can go to that for your information, and we will definitely cover that tomorrow. They just announced tonight Samoa Joe
is going
back to Ring of Honor. If there's any wrestler out there that signifies Ring of Honor and their style, it was Samoa Joe.
Now, is there any chance that he will be there Sunday?
He's not announced right now for it. He's announced to be at the first TV tapings in March, but it's pay-per-view.
Surprise, surprise. You never know. I think it would be a big coup to have Samoa Joe make an appearance.
I agree. And I'm sure me and Matt will cover that tomorrow as well.
Do we have official plugs that we need to get to?
Nothing more than the usual suspects. House of Glory is
running. Wait. Plug music?
Are we going to talk about Brock Lesnar?
We kind of did. Didn't we?
Bits and pieces.
Like,
we're running out of time.
Yeah,
we're really
true.
Short on time,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
I hate that.
It happens when we have people in studio. Yeah.
This was actually, this was nonstop. Like, this show moved.
Yeah, they always
like, even
do.
When I was, walking Dave out to get his shoes, he said, he's like, it didn't even feel like 90 minutes. It really didn't. For your plugs this evening, we are going to go with a little Nine Inch Nails.
Oh,
Matthew.
Nice. I like that. This Friday night, House of Glory Online.com, House of Glory Wrestling, they're running out near Jamaica, Queens. Mick Foley will be there. Past guests that have been in studio, JT Dunn and Chris Dickinson, go one-on-one in studio. Not in studio.
In studio.
Jesus.
At House of Glory. We didn't even cover the Chris Dickinson stuff. God damn it.
Oh, the way he shit on the ECW crowd?
I 100% agree with him.
We got 4 hours blocked off tomorrow. We'll be all right.
Wow.
At HOG Wrestling on Twitter. Please follow them. Please support them. If you are not in the New York, New Jersey area, at least show your support for independent wrestling. ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. That is the website you need to go to. That is the website you need to check out. They have probably the top independent wrestling promotion going in the United States right now.
New general manager, Mick Foley.
Mick Foley is just named the general manager. If you watch the show Saturday night, where else are you going to see Rob Van Dam against AJ Styles?
Nowhere that I know of.
Nowhere but Pro Wrestling Syndicate TV. Where else are you going to get to see Shining Edward Jackson take an ego driver?
There it is.
What a dope.
Nowhere but Pro Wrestling Syndicate. ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. Follow them at Twitter, Pro Wrest Syndicate.
Follow Ba.
Wildcat Sports and Entertainment. Our buddy Luke Hawks is doing great things down there in the New Orleans area. WildcatSports.com. Cat is spelled with a K.
Cat.
And then on Twitter at Wildcat Sports. And then our brothers to the north, Smash Wrestling, smash-wrestling.com.
Hey.
Huge show coming up in March. Main event, Chris Hero against Tommaso Ciampa.
Yep.
Did I get that right? At Smash Wrestling on Twitter. Follow them. Support them. They're always doing great giveaways. They're doing fantastic things up there in the north. That's my plug list. I know Boston Pro Wrestling Marathon.
Boston!
March 6th through the 8th.
To the 8th. Yep.
I know JT Dunn's going to be a part of it.
That's Brian, next week, isn't it?
2 weeks?
Two weeks.
No.
Not this coming
Not
weekend.
This coming
weekend.
Weekend.
Yeah, so basically 2 weeks.
Brian Myers, Colt Cabana.
Boom, boom.
Kevin Sullivan, Kenny Doan, Mike Mondo. Huge wrestling event. If you feel like dealing with 4 feet of snow, because they got...
This is the place for you.
They got hammered. Fucked. Boston got fucked this year.
Yeah. It's because Jay Silva eats pork.
Just Boston.
The ball.
Boston Pro Wrestling Marathon. You can follow them on the Facebook. Just type in Boston Pro Wrestling Marathon. You'll find them there. A lot of good things going on with them. I didn't mean to step on your plugs.
No, Kevin. It's fine. It's all good. You covered it. You
Kevin
covered
Garifo,
it.
You got plugs?
Yes. 1 week from tomorrow night, I will be at the Joke Barrel once again in West Orange, New Jersey, March 26th, Jersey City at the Giggle Pit. At Hopscotch in, like I said, Jersey City. Shows are popping up more and more often now that the weather, hopefully the worst of it, is behind us. So keep an eye out. I'm sure I'll make everyone aware of where I'll be.
And I didn't press another button for the fourth week in a row. That's my plug.
Oof, I thought you had some good new sounds.
Oh, I do. You want to hear them?
No.
Nah, save
we'll
them
wait,
for,
we'll wait them for when they're appropriate.
Save it for when the time is appropriate.
Wait. There's one that I have to play. Wait, oh, now I gotta find it. Oh, here we go. This is a good one. Let me turn up the volume.
I'm gonna go to your job and knock the dicks out of your mouth.
And that's how we close the show here tonight.
Jesus.
Thank God Dave LaGreca has
Jesus!
Left.
Jesus!
All right. See, look what you did. You woke the beast. Man.
Do we have traveling music?
Yeah, I got
you have any crocus?
I fucking hate crocus.
I didn't even talk about the whole PWS show and everything.
Look, I'm sure Pat Buck and or Jay Silver are going to be doing a show this week. And I'm sure Dave Destruction will be talking plenty about PWS.
It's true.
So if you haven't, subscribe to the network and catch up on all the PWS action.
Once again, huge thanks to Dave LaGreca, BustedOpenNation.com. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 to 4 o'clock, Sirius XM, Channel 92. Follow them on Twitter at Busted Open Radio. Dave LaGreca loves the dry erase board. Suck it, fags! You're an angel witch.
What are you, a fag?
The angel witch. She's such a dirty bitch.
Dave Destruction walks around SiriusXM with his nipples out.
We love you, Dave.